He is risen. He is risen indeed. For those of us who have spent years attending Easter Sunday church services, this call and response proclamation is a familiar and beloved part of our celebrations together today. But for those who don't have that history, and even more for anyone who has not regularly attended Easter worship services, or may have never even come to an Easter service before, it's a pretty crazy thing for us to be shouting from the rooftops. These services today are arguably our second best attended services of the year. And they're also services that are centered around what is most certainly one of the hardest parts of the Christian faith for people to believe. This claim that Jesus, who was crucified, rose to life on the third day after he'd died. On one level, it seems kind of odd that these services are so popular, because if you think about it, the resurrection we celebrate today is a pretty challenging place to jump into the Christian faith. But I read a quote this week, and I think that it actually might help to explain why people decide to come to Easter services. The Reverend Dr. Jason Biasi, who's the former preaching and homiletics professor from the Vancouver School of Theology, had this to say about the resurrection. We understand the resurrection only as we become involved with it, being drawn into the discovery of the empty tomb and the raised Christ. Maybe in coming today, we are all getting involved with the resurrection story, letting ourselves be drawn to the events of that morning, and hoping that we might begin to understand something of the mystery of what happened and of what it all means to us. After Jesus, Mary is really the central character in this whole experience. As we heard, the story starts and ends with her. It was early on the third day after Jesus had been crucified. The sun wasn't up yet, but Mary was. She and some other unnamed likely women went to the tomb. Their grief was fresh, and they were anxious to get there. Jewish law had meant that they hadn't been allowed to attend the tomb on the day after the crucifixion because it had been the Sabbath. So as soon as they could on this morning, they set out, never expecting to find the tomb would be open. Well, it sounds like Mary's immediate assumption was that someone had taken Jesus' body, maybe some grave robbers or perhaps even the Romans. So she seems less concerned with who might have done it, but more worried actually about where they might have taken him. At any rate, at this point in the story, it is clear that nobody is thinking about the possibility of resurrection. Mary ran to tell the others what had happened, and Peter and John sprang into action. They ran back to the tomb to see what for themselves what had happened. They both went in, and they discovered the linen strips that Jesus' body had been wrapped in, lying in the exact place where they would have been when they'd actually placed his body there. The strips were not strewn about, as you would expect if the grave had been robbed, but they were just laying flat, right where his body should have been, but with no body inside them. I can imagine that it might have at first just looked like he'd just dissolved. Now, we need to know that the unnamed disciple who ran to the tomb with Peter was almost certainly John, the same John who wrote this gospel. He tells us that when he went into the tomb and saw for himself, he believed. Now, what he believed, we're not exactly clear about, but it was not what Mary was thinking, that Jesus' body had been stolen or taken by the Romans. At this point, John's belief kind of seems to be still in the form of rather broad brushstrokes. We know that they did not understand yet that Jesus had risen. John tells us that. But John seemed to believe that something very good was happening. Jesus' missing body meant that it wasn't all over. He seemed to sense that death had not been the end for Jesus or for the movement that he'd begun. And so, having seen for themselves, he and Peter go back to where they were staying. Now, at this point, Mary is still outside the tomb. She must not have realized what was happening inside for Peter and John, because she was still weeping, swamped in her own grief. Isn't it strange how two people can be in the same place at the same time and experience two completely different things? The empty tomb told John that good things were still to come. But for Mary, at this point, that tomb was just one more reason to feel utterly devastated. Her Lord was gone, and her heart was broken. Well, as if an empty tomb is not interesting enough, this is the point at which the story gets even more interesting. The linen cloths may have been enough to convince John and Peter that things were not as they seemed, but they weren't enough for Mary. She needed more. And Jesus must have realized that. So when she looked in at first into the tomb, she saw two angels, angels that apparently hadn't been there when John and Peter had been in the tomb. But distressed as she was, even those angels weren't enough for her. She still couldn't get past the thought that somebody had taken Jesus' body. And so, knowing her and realizing her deep need in those moments, Jesus came to her himself. Mary was the very first person who got to see the risen Christ, to talk with him, to know the reality of his presence there with her. As John tells it, at first she didn't realize it was Jesus. But once he said her name, she knew. She knew the sound of her name coming from his lips. So familiar, so precious, so loving. She knew him, and so she finally realized that as impossible as it all seemed, it truly was him, alive. Now, this is a difficult thing to understand, how Jesus, who had been well and truly dead just a couple of days before, could have been standing there talking to her. Over the past couple of Sundays, we here have been talking about how impossible the resurrection seemed and how no one ever expected it. It is a rational leap, for sure, for us and for everyone who was there that day witnessing it. John and Peter didn't understand what had happened. John tells us that. And Mary certainly didn't understand, at least not right away. It seems that understanding was not part of anyone's experience of the resurrection. So I have to say, if you've come today hoping to understand this story, even more if you've come today looking for a God you can understand, a God who does things that you can understand, well, I'm afraid you might be a bit disappointed, because it just doesn't seem to work that way. Understanding is not the first thing that comes to any of the people who were there that morning. The first thing to come to each of them is some level of belief. John believes that something good is happening, that death was not the end for Jesus. And Mary believes that the man standing before her really is her beloved Jesus. But neither of them actually understood what was happening. Honestly, in truth, we still don't really understand what happened. But then maybe what was true for Mary and John is true for us. Maybe faith doesn't actually begin with understanding. Maybe faith begins with believing, even though you don't understand. That certainly seems to be how it worked for these three on this most spectacular of days. Saint Augustine was one of the great saints and finest minds in the history of the church, and he famously said, "I believe so that I may understand." Augustine had come to see that faith is actually rooted in believing, and from that place, understanding begins to come. That was his experience. And we know from this story and from all of the other stories of the risen Christ coming to his followers that it was also the experience of Jesus' first disciples, and for all who would eventually gather and become the early church. I'm quite certain that it has probably also been the experience for many of you. It is only as we begin to believe that we seem to be able to begin to see and grasp things about God and about our walk with God that we maybe haven't been able to understand before. And that really does bring us back to that thought from the quote that I shared at the beginning of this sermon. We understand the resurrection only as we become involved with it. Maybe like those first witnesses, we've had this sense that we needed to come to the tomb again today to, in the words of the Reverend Dr. Biasi, become involved in this resurrection story. And I think that we're doing that because here at the empty tomb, we are hoping to find what John found, the possibility that death is not really the end at all. And even more, we're hoping to find what Mary found, that we are being met here by a God who comes to us and knows us. A God we can come to know so well that, like Mary, we'll be able to recognize him as soon as he says our name. Amen.